Many will have gotten jobs last month, but what about raises? I'm David Brancaccio in New York. The Federal Reserve did not raise interest rates at their meeting yesterday, but the Fed statement makes it clear enough that no one should be shocked or bewildered if they raise rates in March, which is, now that we're in February, pretty soon. On Tuesdays, we'd like to consult Diane Swonk, chief economist at the accounting firm Grant Thornton.
Essentially, the Fed, against the backdrop of a stronger economy and higher inflation expectations, opened the door to that first rate hike. And what's unique about this in 2018 is that a year ago, when the Fed was saying we're looking for several rate hikes in 2017, nobody believed them. Now they do.
Yeah, now they believe them. Now, tomorrow, the big jobs report of the month, it will cover the just completed month of January. What are you expecting?
We're looking for 175,000 jobs to be created. That's a little more than we saw in the month of December. The unemployment rate to hold at 4.1% as a few more people are coming back into the labor force. But, of course, we really want to watch those wage numbers, and there's a couple things going on. One, in retail, we could lose even more jobs than usual in January because there were the closings at Sam's Club. We saw Toys R Us declared bankruptcies. The other issue is what happens to wages. I think wages are going to pick up slightly, 2.6% year over year. It's a slight acceleration. That's good and welcome news. A little small portion of that is really showing up from leisure and hospitality. Not only are wages picking up because we're getting a little tighter labor market, but 18 states raised the minimum wage in the month of January. And that increase is going to help us lift wages at the bottom level.
Economist Diane Swonk is now at Grant Thornton. Diane, thank you.
Thank you.
Now, a few days into Janet Yellen's tenure, you may remember she announced her title would be the chair, as opposed to chairwoman or chairperson. Chair would have worked fine for the new guy, as it's gender neutral. But I note that the Board of Governors of the Federal Reserve System is already officially referring to the incoming Jerome H. Powell as chairman. Amazon, Apple, and Alphabet, Google all released their results late today, and in the unofficial derby for most valuable public company, Alphabet and Amazon might soon move past the current holder of that title, Apple. Marketplace's Tracy Samuelson has more.
Apple's stock price has dipped over the last few weeks. One reason, questions about the new iPhone X. Daniel Ives is chief strategy officer at GBH Insights, a market research firm.
Although initially it started off strong, we've seen demand taper off, especially out of China, which is a main growth market for Apple.
Meanwhile, Google's dominating in search, mobile search, and video advertising. Analysts expect revenues grew almost 25% in 2017. Apple's recent dip and Google's strength have brought the value of these giant companies within $50 billion of each other. Not a big distance when your market value is more than $800 billion. Amazon is further back, but still in the race.
If they were to surpass Apple, what would be most notable is how quickly they did it.
Paul Sweeney is a media analyst at Bloomberg Intelligence.
They're much younger companies, if you will, than Apple.
Remember, Apple went public way back in 1980, 17 years before Amazon and 24 years before Google. I'm Tracy Samuelson for Marketplace.
And the Wall Street Journal is reporting now that as Saudi Arabia tries to diversify its economy away from oil, there are talks to start a Silicon Valley inside the kingdom. Listen to the players in this possible joint venture: Google, Alphabet, and the state oil company Aramco. Texas law took effect this year. It's called SB 4. It makes it against the law for local law enforcement not to cooperate with federal immigration agents, meaning it's illegal to be a sanctuary city in Texas now. Yet many big city sheriffs there say they won't hand over undocumented people to the feds. But what about outside the big cities? Marketplace's Andy Euler spent time with one Texas family.
Ed and Britt live with their three sons, ages 5, 11, and 12, in a small town in the Texas Hill Country called Manor. Ed works in construction. We aren't using the family's last name because Ed's living in the U.S. illegally, has been for 15 years, and he's afraid of deportation.
I am more concerned about my safety than I've ever been.
He doesn't have a driver's license, so even his commute to job sites is illegal. On the job, he sees workers like him keeping as low a profile as possible, including at lunch.
Some of the meat markets that I have lunch during my lunch breaks, I have seen the people just dwindle, you know. More people, I guess, bringing their food. is not going out of their vehicle, is not going out of their work site during their lunch break.
Ed says his fear fluctuates depending on where he's working. In Austin, Travis County, he knows Sheriff Sally Hernandez has pledged not to detain people like him. But his boss takes jobs all around Central Texas. Ed gets nervous working just 10 miles up the road.
When I drive north, it's not the same feeling. Williamson County Sheriff has pledged allegiance to Trump and supporting SB4. And so learn to just suck it up, you know?
Ed's wife, Britt, a native Texan, worries when he's on the road. Ed was deported years before she met him and snuck back into the U.S. Because of that original offense, their marriage alone doesn't qualify him for citizenship.
I'm a bird in a cage if my husband's a bird in the cage. We all have this fear of, you know, not coming home to one another.
Living out in the country, Britt says she fears immigration agents knocking at the door. She says the family worries less when they're in Austin, where there are support groups, nonprofits, immigration lawyers. Out in Manor, protection for undocumented people falls to churches. Alex Montes Vela is the priest at St. Mary Magdalene Episcopal. He's been reaching out to undocumented and split-status families since the new Texas law passed.
We're offering classes to give them some tools and knowledge in how to deal with ICE. People were not comfortable enough to get out of the house and come to the church to receive this information because they were scared.
He says he's given many families the access code to open his church doors at any hour. Should they need to flee authorities, they can take sanctuary there. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
And in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. This is from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.